Welcome to Bible Insights with Wayne Conrad. God's Word is a lamp to our feet, a light on our path. And the entrance of His words give light. They give understanding to the simple. Today I want us to go into the Gospel of John. This is on Resurrection Day, in the evening of Resurrection Day. Now, the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a very, very busy day. It begins early in the morning when the women come to the tomb to discover that the stone has been rolled away from the door, and they run back to tell the apostles, at least Mary Magdalene does, to tell the apostles that someone's tampered with the body, someone's done something because the stone was rolled away from the door. And Peter and John go and they discover that though there are grave clothes there, the body is missing. It is not present there. Well, later that day, on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus appeared to these two disciples as they're walking along, but they don't know that it's Jesus at first, but he explains to them from the scriptures how the Christ must come and that he must suffer and die, be buried and raised from the dead. And when he set a table within and began to say the blessing, suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized the Lord, but he disappeared from their sight. Well, they run back to Jerusalem. Now, this takes some time. We're talking about a distance of 11 miles in which people are walking back and forth. And they go to the upper room where a number of the disciples have been gathered. At least there are 10 gathered there on this particular night. One was missing by the name of Thomas. So this is the first appearance of Christ to the apostles as a group. Now, we understand from Paul's writing that he had made an appearance to Peter during the afternoon, but we're not told about that appearance. We know that he made an appearance to Mary Magdalene and that he had an appearance to a couple of the other women as they had were leaving the garden area. But now he appears to 10 of the apostles together. And we read in the passage of Scripture that they were gathered together behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. And then suddenly, Jesus appears in their midst. He doesn't knock on the door and ask to be admitted. He is suddenly there. And they're frightened. At first, they think they might be seeing a ghost. But Jesus invites them to touch him, to look at him, to see that he's not a ghost, that it's him, the same one who had been crucified. And so, in this particular appearance to Christ, of Christ to the disciples, he does something that's different and something that begs for some kind of explanation. Because Jesus, in preparing the disciples for his imminent death, burial, and resurrection, had spent some hours in the upper room talking to them on the night of Passover. And at that particular time, he assured them of several things. One is that he would be giving them his peace. He, in fact, said to them, "My peace I give to you, a peace not that the world gives, but that I give." So he's going to give them peace. And he's speaking of peace then, but then he's crucified and they sort of lose hope. And in a sense, they certainly lost their emotional peace. But now he appears that evening to them. On the evening of that first day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Shalom." This is the Hebrew word of greeting, but it's a greeting that carries with it the almost prayer, the almost wish that you could lay a hold of wellness, wholeness, everything that you need for the fullness of life. So Jesus comes and says to them, "Peace be with you." And then the scripture says in verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Now, there are two recordings of this appearance of Christ. One's in the Gospel of John, as one is in the Gospel of Luke. I invite you to look at Luke 24, where you'll see more detail. Because after those disciples on the road to Emmaus reached Jerusalem, and they went into the room where the disciples were, they began to tell them how the Lord appeared to them in the breaking of the bread. And then Jesus suddenly appears here in the room with these disciples. But they were also told that Jesus ate bread, fish and bread in front of them. And so what's going on? Well, Jesus is just showing them the physicality of his body, that this is the same body, the body of his birth, the body in which he had been put to death. This is the body of his resurrection. Well, what's different about it? Well, what's different about it now is it is now raised an immortal body, a spiritual body. That does not mean a non-existent body or a ghostly kind of body. It means a physical body that has been so transformed that it is now capable of living in the eternal realms. It is no longer subject to decay or to death or anything of that nature. It has become and is now an immortal body, a body that will forever remain, a body that has life, eternal. The person raised immortal will now live a never-ending life, a never-ending existence. And so that's the kind of body in which our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. He invites his disciples in Luke 24, 39. He says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And while they were still in a state of disbelief for joy and still were marveling, he says to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" So Jesus demonstrates to them the reality of his resurrected body. But then Jesus does something different, recorded only here in John, but it is related to things that he had said before. In verse 21, it says, "Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be with you.'" Now, let's go back to what Jesus had said in the upper room about peace. If we read in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So now Jesus has come in his resurrected and glorified body, and he speaks to them of peace. He says to them, "Peace be with you." And then he gives a commission. He's given the commission to these who are gathered in that room, specifically the ten. "As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." Again, we can hearken back to the upper room discourse and to the concluding prayer recorded in John chapter 17. As Jesus is speaking to the Father, he says to the Father, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth." And so now Christ comes to give them that commission and to impart to them the very presence of the Holy Spirit to be with them. Now, this passage seems to be primarily a commissioning of his disciples to carry on the work of preaching the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus had originally commissioned the 12 to do, going to the towns and the villages, and then later he did the same with the 72, doing the same thing, going through the towns and villages, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick, and casting out demons. And so now he's saying this work must continue. "I am sending you on the commission that my Father sent me to do." Well, what's different? What's different is that the Lord Jesus is no longer going to be with him. Because though at this moment it's not dawning on them about his ascension, he has already told them that he will ascend to the Father. And they will need the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit accompanied them on those missions in the past. But what's different about the Spirit in the ministry of Christ with the disciples and the ministry of the Spirit after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven. What's different about the relationship of the Spirit is that the Spirit in the new covenant comes to dwell within the life, within the bodies of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Spirit comes to abide within, to remain with them. And this is the Spirit and the dimension of the Spirit that Jesus is now imparting to these 10. So Jesus comes to the frightened disciples and he issues the great benefit that he had won for them, peace. This is not primarily an emotional peace, but it is a salvific peace. It's a peace that comes from reconciliation that we have with God due to the cross of Christ, due to his sacrifice on our behalf, which takes away the guilt and the penalty of our sin and grants us access to the Father. Christ has done all that was necessary to pay the price for the forgiveness of their sins and the bestowal of righteousness through faith in him. So this was the goal, and this was the fruit of his ministry, and he now announces it to these disciples. Peace, my peace. Now he comes, and he declares the reality of this blood-bought peace, and he imparts to them its existential reality. He displays his hands, his side, the wounds which are proofs and reminders of his death on the cross for their sins, evidence that this is the same man who died on the cross who is now standing before them. And so for the second time, he declares peace upon them. And now he relates it first to his own commissioning by the Father, who sent him as the incarnate Son of God into the world as its Redeemer, and the corollary commissioning of Jesus to his disciples to go and to carry on the work that they had been doing with him for 3 years, but now they must do without him, but they will do it in the power of the Spirit. So although Christ will no longer be leading them and accompanying them from village to village, he will send the other helper. He will send the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to accompany them. And to demonstrate the reality of the Spirit's presence with him, he breathes on them. He imparts his own Spirit to them. From the depths of his holy being, he breathes on them so that they receive that same Spirit within themselves. So the Spirit in the past had accompanied them. He had been with them, but now he moves to be within them. And with that Spirit comes the authority to pronounce the forgiveness to those who repent and believe in the gospel, and the accompanying withholding of forgiveness of sins to those who refuse to believe and to accept the gospel. And we see this use of the keys of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost when Peter preaches the gospel to the multitude. And some 3,000 believe, but others did not at that point believe. Now, Jesus had been anointed with the Spirit for his messianic ministry. And during his 3-year ministry, he had imparted to the commissioned disciples the accompanying presence of his Spirit. The Spirit was with them, but not in them. And that is what he said in his upper room discourse with them. But now, as the fruit of his death and resurrection, he imparts to them the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to enable them to carry on the ministry of declaring the gospel and the power of God. Christ will be absent, but his Spirit will be with them forever. This has been Wayne Conrad with Bible Insights.